Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guests are Jenny Melhert and Michelle Fontaine, as Logistics Plus is in the Business Spotlight. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this August 2022 edition of Business Spotlight featuring Logistics Plus. Today, our guests are Jenny Melhert, Vice President of Global Supply Chain Solutions, and Michelle Fontaine, Global Sales Manager at LP. Jenny, we'll start today's program with yourself. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and your role within the company?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, good morning. I'm Jenny Melhert. I'm the VP of Global Supply Chain Solutions. I manage the Dallas branch and a couple of our warehouse facilities. And really, I mean, what we do is when customers have specific operation, transportation, logistics needs, we go out and find solutions to accommodate and support them.
And Michelle, we'll have you answer the same question.
Absolutely. I am Global Sales Manager, so I manage sales as well as the entire business development process. Jenny and I are right hand, left hand, so we work on solutions and problem solving for all of our customers. As a little bit of background, I actually got into the logistics industry by meeting someone on an airplane. So it goes to show when you're just chatting with someone. And I started with Eagle Global Logistics and was there for the merger into SEVA. Worked for a few other freight forwarders in similar roles, sales as well as management, and found myself here at Logistics Plus.
I guess the moral to the story is even a casual conversation on an airplane can turn into a terrific career.
Absolutely. Always have your A game.
I understand you both came over to Logistics Plus back in 2011 as part of the Horizon Logistics acquisition. Can you tell us how that all came about?
Yeah, when we were at Horizon Logistics, Horizon was an ocean carrier primarily for the Jones Act trade. They were looking to get back to their core business. They did open up a logistics division and wanted to get back to just being an ocean carrier. So Horizon went out into the market. They did have some offers, and they went back and forth with a couple different companies and at one point actually decided to just get rid of the company. So one day we had to take the team into the office, let them know that we were actually going to do severance packages and instead of an acquisition. And then to the next day, Mr. Berlin reached out to us, and I think the question was, do you have good people in Dallas, kind of a conversation. And we then started working on a transition plan. So then we moved over, just packed our stuff, moved down the street, and changed the name and became part of the Logistics Plus team.
Jenny, it sounds like your world just changed overnight.
Yeah, it did. There was a plan to, we had a certain transition date that we were going to move everything over by. And then all of a sudden there were some documentation that were expiring that we had to advance that date. Logistics Plus was great. They sent down a team to start training on their systems, making sure that the old Horizon team was able to transition successfully, seamless for the customers. And what's, you know, a great, you know, testament to that is we still have a lot of those same customers today.
Michelle, you were also a part of the Horizon Logistics acquisition, correct?
I was. I did not take as strategic of a role as Jenny did. I just made Jim Berlin sweat a little bit when I said I wasn't sure if I was going to move over. And so, but outside of that, I let some of the behind the scenes talking happen between Jenny as well as a few other key team members.
What were both of your initial thoughts about joining Logistics Plus at that time? Were there any noticeable cultural differences? Michelle, we'll start with you.
You know, I was a little hesitant at first. I think that's always natural whenever there's a new company that comes about. At that time, I've always been based out here on the West Coast. So at that time, I didn't know Logistics Plus, and I wasn't really sure if they were really what they truly said they were to be on paper. You always find that in the industry, someone can always have some marketing material, but it's really what the guts are a part of, right? What's inside the car. And so after I visited the headquarters and spent some time with Jim and just key team members, I really grew to be excited. I really liked the atmosphere of just get it done. and just generally the vibe and the aura around the organization in itself. So that kind of helped solidify my transition.
Jenny, what were your thoughts about joining LP?
My thought was I was not going to join. I was pregnant with number two, and I was going to go and be a housewife and take care of our two daughters. Then people from Logistics Plus, Mr. Berlin, and some of our management team at Horizon reminded me that I tried to be a stay-at-home mom before, and it only lasted 3 months and probably is not in my DNA, and convinced me to join as the branch manager for Dallas. So really good decision. I'm really glad that that was the one I made. I have all the respect for moms that can stay home, but it just wasn't for me. And in regards to, you know, getting to know the team and the differences, I mean, Horizon Lines is a very corporate organization with a lot of layers, a publicly traded company. And working at Logistics Plus, it's a very flat organization. Everyone has a voice. Everyone has a direct line to Jim Berlin. And everybody has the opportunity every day to make an impact. So it's very entrepreneurial, which I thrive in. So I definitely appreciated and embraced it once I got acquainted with the organization.
Well, both of you were extremely honest with your answers. There was some trepidation in joining LP after the Horizon Logistics acquisition. But now that 11-plus years have passed since you joined Logistics Plus, could either of you have ever imagined the company being where it is today? Michelle, it looks like you want to start with this one.
I'm not surprised where LP is at today, just purely based on the dynamic. And I think, Jenny, you said it best, you know, just really having that flat organization and allowing your team to truly make a difference. One of the coolest things that I've seen here is that if you have an idea and you've got customers that will back you up, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get that support to move forward with that opportunity. So I'm not surprised. I didn't imagine that what 11 years would look like down the road. I think that, you know, we've just put our head down and worked and had some fun, some crying possibly in between due to some industry situations. But overall, it's exciting to see where we're at.
Jenny, would you like to share your thoughts about the last 11 years at LP?
I think Michelle said it perfectly. It has been fun. And I think that's why, one, the 11 years has gone by so quick. And it's definitely every time a customer comes to us and has a need and has a challenge, we don't say no. We go and pull a whiteboard out and find that solution that gives them what they're looking for. And having an organization that supports you accordingly it's fulfilling, you know. So it definitely is a work hard, play hard type of environment. Then you can see the growth and the fruit of that labor.
Jenny, you are based in Dallas, Texas, which is home to an important branch office and warehouse for Logistics Plus. Tell us a little bit about LP Dallas and how it has grown over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when people say LP Dallas, I know like a lot of other 4PLs and our competitors out there, they're very regionalized. So when they support a certain market, that's what their focus is. What is great about LP Dallas is it's not limited just to a region. So we actually support all across the United States customers that are based everywhere along with internationally. So the one thing great about Dallas is we're able to do that 7-to-7 service and support the East Coast and the West Coast, which makes it really seamless to a lot of our customers. In the growth, it's even Dallas, we still also have the same team members that support our book of business, maybe in Erie, in Vancouver, in other locations.
Jenny, what other operations do you manage across the LP network?
I oversee the warehouse facility in New Jersey, along with our new recent office this year in Vancouver, Washington.
Michelle, we have it on good authority that Jim is fond to point out that Logistics Plus has almost no salespeople. So how does it feel to be essentially the company's only salesperson? And what is it like selling for Logistics Plus?
I really liked, first and foremost, proving Jim wrong, because I wanted to show him when I first joined, he was hesitant, right? He came right out and said, my company's been successful without a salesperson. At that time, I had shown him the proving success that I had had, but naturally, and much like many other companies, you can come across as salespeople that only want to play hard. They're not going to work hard. You're paying them premiums and you're not really getting the best bang for your buck. They don't represent the company, they oversell, et cetera. So I take pride in the business ethic that I bring both personally as well as to Logistics Plus. I've had a lot of customers follow us over the years and come find us at their different organizations because of working with Jenny and myself and our team and the integrity that we bring. So I really liked first showing Jim that there is a good salesperson, even if I might be unique, that there really is someone that's genuine out there. And if the team is working hard, you betcha that I'm behind them working hard with them or maybe a little bit harder to show them that I've got skin in the game just as much as they do. And then additionally, just selling for LP, it's fun because you get to bring your own solutions. When Jenny and I find a niche or a need in the market, we sit there and we brainstorm for a really long time. What do you think we can do? How can we approach this? And then we start putting pen to paper. And the beauty about it is we have the free rein, as long as, again, it makes business sense, to really develop that solution, which is exactly how the vertical market of solar began. We had something that we felt and truly believed was going to be the next step and going to be the right direction to go. So it's great from that perspective. And then also, like Jenny mentioned, we're not regionalized. That was probably one of my biggest pain points at all of my other previous locations was that you were siloed. This is your territory. Stay in your sandbox. This is what you do. At LP, we work as a team. If there's an opportunity, go get it, regardless of location. So it's been fun. It's not always easy, but that's the industry in itself. So that's how it's been.
We know from the conversations that we've had with Jim Berlin over the years that his sales philosophy is a bit different from the conventional numbers-based one that most salespeople are accustomed to. How do you reconcile that from your perspective?
I think they go hand in hand, actually. In the beginning of my career, all I was focused on numbers because you get this as a new salesperson in the industry, you're instilled with a level of fear of, you know, you have to pay for yourself times some calculation and formula. Otherwise, they have the right to let you go, right? So that's all I did. And then I remember sweating in my palms like daily trying to meet my numbers. And then one of my mentors at that time said to me, there's a difference in just knocking on extensive doors and working smart. You have to make sure you're knocking on the right doors and then you're servicing those right doors because then everything else, other doors will open. So as a result, my career, my success has not only been focusing on giving the best service and support to my customers. And that might be me sitting next to my team, helping them, you know, support at the end of the month or something like that. It's not always just going out and being the smile in front of the customer. But my success has also driven truly to having a strong team. There is hands down, I would not be where I am today without Jenny and the team behind us. That goes to attribute to the hard work that Jenny has done in developing our team so that, you know, I can be successful.
Michelle, we got to ask you, what is the meaning behind the nickname Honey Badger, which Jim seems fond of calling you?
So I got that nickname because of being tenacious and just being very consistent in my follow-up with customers. So I will persistently but respectfully wait and continue to check in with customers to find the right time till we can actually service them. As you know, in a transportation and a service industry, I don't have a widget that I can sell and say, this is why this product works better than the current one you're using. We have a service. And so it's our team and our people that I'm selling and our execution. So as a result, you sometimes have to be patient and wait for the customers for the right time. And then that persistence, acting like a badger, allows for the right opportunity. And specifically, one of our largest accounts today, I want to say maybe it's been 9 or 10 years, I basically knocked on this gentleman's door, I would say probably for about 2 years. And every week I would just touch base and check in and whether that be stopping or pick up the phone and call. And I remember very vividly hearing him down the hall, her again. But eventually he and I developed a really strong relationship and a respect for one another so that when the time came and he had a major issue, one of his current partners dropped the ball, I was his first phone call. And it developed and grew into this phenomenal partnership that we have today where we continue to offer multitudes of services. So that's kind of the gist behind the nickname.
Jenny and Michelle, you both play instrumental roles in the company's solar division. Can you tell our audience how LP got into the solar vertical and what types of capabilities LP offers its solar customers? And we'll start with Jenny.
Absolutely. And actually, we got into the solar market when we were at Horizon. So we started with a solar company that is no longer in the U.S. However, we slowly started penetrating that market. We started on the ocean freight side, and then eventually were able to, as badgered other solar companies, grow into the warehousing, supply chain, and full distribution aspect of it.
The badger, that was terrific, Jenny. Michelle, what are your thoughts on the same question?
Jenny, you touched exactly on the same memory that I had on how we began. And one thing that stands out the most is that we literally started with one ocean container as an import for this new customer in the U.S. And from there, it grew to a couple hundred containers a month. And then we started really focusing on their pain points. I remember one of the key struggles in the beginning of solar, the very beginning, was the manufacturers, which are predominantly out of Asia, were routing and controlling everything from Asia. And so you had job sites here taking installs and thousands of modules and containers. But then you had someone from China or their freight forwarder who originated out of China or just Asia Pac trying to communicate with them at nighttime or at different hours of operation. So there was not only an hours of operation issue, but also a language barrier. And so when we got started with this one customer, Jenny and I really just played a role in listening to their major pain points. And then the moment that they said, this is our struggle, we honed in on that and really started focusing on, after the imports, the job site deliveries and truly defining that process. I remember we developing an onboarding process, and every job site we developed it more. Okay, what worked? What didn't work? How do we tweak this more? And it's truly developed a foundation over the last 11 years that I would say makes logistics plus second to none as an expert when it comes to managing solar, but also especially the solar market.
Michelle, with a growing emphasis on alternative energy sources and sustainability practices in the world, what types of doors does this open for a company like Logistics Plus in regards to the solar division?
I mean, as a result, we've had lots of referral business. Once you do a good job, the solar industry is very similar to logistics, where everyone really starts to get to know everyone, especially over 20 years. Jenny and I both have I think she has over 20, but I have about 17 years of experience. And it really leads to, hey, have you talked to Michelle? Have you talked to Jenny? Their team is great. You'll hands down be supported. While it has its challenges, the ebbs and flows with the government rulings of solar really has driven part of our business as well, but it's constantly growing, and it's really good focus for the next couple of years as well.
Jenny, back to you for this one. Let's have you walk our listeners through an entire solar project. From start to finish, what does a project look like for LP?
So what we try to do is, you know, Michelle and I have always prided ourselves on not just moving a box, moving something from A to B. We really do try to promote and sell and offer the solution that is managing a full supply chain. So really of more like a 4PL type of solution where from origin, taking the container from the customer's manufacturing facility and then customs clearing it, giving them the tracking and visibility that they need, arranging for customs clearance when it gets to the final country, the U.S., if it's being imported, warehousing the technology solutions to be able to give them the tools to then have the visibility and deliver to their customers, along with the actual project site installations. So it is not just moving the containers, but actually providing those types of solutions that we really pride ourselves on. And Michelle, I know you kind of wanted to talk about some of the 4PL things that we're doing too.
Absolutely. So outside of, like Jenny mentioned, just the entire soup to nuts type supply chain, one of the things that I think we bring major value to our customers on is the customs clearance component, as well as the 4PL services. In solar specifically, there's been a tremendous amount of changes with the government ruling. So every time, as you guys can imagine, when policies change or there's a change in presidency, naturally different initiatives are rolled out. As a result, imports and certain tariffs are rolled out. And specifically in solar, there's been a shift in the market where a lot of customers are needing extra guidance, consulting, and services to help them through some of these government shifts. So that's another unique aspect that we're bringing to the table. And then more specifically, this last year especially, and I'd probably say in the future, we've recognized that customers are trying to do more with less. And as a result, there's a huge need for 4PL services for individuals and companies that come with a wealth of knowledge in the transportation side, as well as logistics, coupled with the knowledge of solar. So we've been able to offer customers not only staffing on site to help if they're having some challenges or they need the extra resources, because it's really one person on site, but an entire company behind, or maybe a system to help streamline and give them the tools that they're looking for. But we've actually gotten all the way down to the boots on the ground, where we've helped customers repackage and rework cargo that's on a job site. Maybe a job site had a permit delay or something changed, and the cargo was impacted by weather after sitting in the field for a couple months. So we'll actually work with the crews to get on-site, repackage, double stack, reband, et cetera, reload trucks, all the way to actually offloading and loading at job sites, scanning, really being inspection crews on site, all the way to the installs. And this isn't just here in the United States, this is globally. So it's a really exciting time for Logistics Plus. We've really started to delve more into it here in the US, and I'm extremely excited to see what the next year brings with this service.
Well, I'm sure all of the solar projects that both of you have managed have taken you to some pretty awesome places. Do any places or projects stick out to you for being unique or challenging?
Well, I know Michelle's going to be thinking the same one, Honduras.
Yes, exactly.
So we did manage a project for a customer originating out of overseas from Asia all the way to a delivery on the west coast of Honduras. Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong on that one. And so we were having challenges. The cargo was coming through Nicaragua, and we were having challenges with the ports. Their cranes were down and they were getting backlogged. Well, and we just started the project. So unfortunately, Michelle and I, of course, get on the next flight out and go to San Pedro Sula. And it definitely does have a high crime rate. I think both of our husbands thought we were insane to go and meet with the port directors and resolve some of those challenges. Michelle, if you want to add on to that.
Well, first, I want to clarify. At the time that we went, San Pedro Sula was the murder capital of the world. So I have to tell you, my husband said some explicit words when he said, "Are you serious? Are you really going to go?" And Jenny and I, hands down, were like, well, we have to solve this problem. We committed to this project and we will not fail. So it was really unique because Honduras had an initiative from the government, and whomever had the first solar install completed got 10% back. So at that time, there were, whether it be drug lords or whomever had the financial backing at that time, three or four massive solar projects starting to be installed in Honduras. And as a result, there was a lot of pressure from our supplier and saying this has to get done. There cannot be delays. We have over 150 containers coming in per week, which was a big deal in bringing the cargo through Nicaragua. The reason we went that route was because Honduras's port couldn't handle that volume. So most certainly exciting. And I specifically remember when the Nicaraguan port director wasn't giving Jenny what she needed. She looked at our translator and she said, "You tell him I'm not leaving this office until we figure this out." She wasn't kidding. I think we may have left there at 11 p.m. We missed our helicopter due to safety. Once you get to the border, there's safety, as you can imagine, issues driving across country. And we had our drivers literally drive us across Honduras in the middle of the night. So it definitely had its moments of being scared, but also very fulfilling in the sense of Jenny and I are crazy and we got it done and we were very successful in this project. And our customer was the first one to get the install completed.
Well, it's easy to tell why Jim Berlin is so fond of both of you, Jenny and Michelle. To be willing to go to the murder capital of the world and still get the deal done, what an incredible accomplishment. One thing that we've talked about a lot when it comes to the logistics industry is supply chain bottlenecks and rising transportation costs. They've been front and center in the news over the past year. How has this impacted project deadlines and customer expectations?
Naturally, deadlines were impacted initially due to the congestion at origin ports, and then it started to snowball all the way to destination ports. One of the key things that Jenny works with all of our suppliers as well as our procurement team on is specifically these challenges as a result. One of the key challenges we've seen is that the infrastructure here at the U.S. ports just couldn't sustain the volume that was taking place. And this is just solar we're talking, like we were focused for this conversation. But there was an uptick, as we all saw during COVID, where there were shutdowns and then these massive peaks because U.S. online retail buying was increasing. So naturally, if we all think about it, everything's coming from overseas. So a lot of that impacted the deadlines. Suppliers were paying whatever it took to make their cargo meet the deadlines. Specifically in solar, there's something called what's referenced as liquidated damages. And this means that at a job site, if the product is not delivered by that delivery deadline, then the job site or the ultimate customer has the right to charge the supplier back what's called liquidated damages, which is an exceptionally costly amount of money per container that's for each day that it's not delivered. So as a result, you had suppliers scrambling to try and execute deliveries because the port congestions and the shutdowns and things like that weren't initially viewed as force majeure. Over some time, naturally, where there was COVID shutdowns, et cetera, there started to be some contract renegotiations. But as a result, we started seeing suppliers take the hit on the pricing cost, which was shocking because naturally, as we see here, consumers eventually over time start to see our prices rise. And I would probably say in the last 2 months, especially in solar, I've seen an uptick of suppliers starting to have conversations with the ultimate buyers of renegotiating contract as a result of the previous market saying, if a certain percentage of pricing or this happens with congestion, these are the aftermath versus just the old school way of, yes, a contract from a year ago, we'll be able to deliver no problem for that, you know, negotiated price. So it's been really, really interesting to be a part of. Definitely has had its challenging moments, but we're seeing some relief right now.
Well, that is certainly good to hear. It's been such a major issue in your industry over the course of the last couple of years, really. So good to hear that there is some relief happening with the bottlenecks and the transportation costs. Michelle and Jenny, you've both been terrific on the program today. Great stories, insightful information. As we wrap up the program, what are your final thoughts on what 2022 and beyond is looking like, both for Logistics Plus and the solar industry? Michelle, we'll have you lead off once again on the final question.
Lots of growth. I've seen in speaking with customers as well, there's going to be a decrease in the solar tariffs and some going away. All of our customers are saying to strap on our seatbelts. It's about to get busier, which it's already very busy. So we are excited to be a part of we call it the solar coaster. So we're excited to continue the solar coaster, grow our team more, and really focus on not only the actual logistics side of it, but also really grow our 4PL division.
Yeah, I mean, as Michelle said, definitely right now our focus is growing our team, hiring the key parties and players for specific roles to make sure that we've got the right foundation as we know the flood's coming, right? We know that the volumes are going to increase, and we look forward to it. We're also, as Michelle said, growing the other divisions, so we're more integrated to be able to offer that customer a true bow of their project site all the way from overseas to install eventually. So it's going to be some exciting times. As Michelle said earlier too, some tears, crying in the fetal position is how I like to call it when we're stressed, but we definitely push through and get it done, and we look forward to it. Look forward to another 11 years.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.